to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.
Welcome to Full Power Living, where we're dedicated to awakening the world to the power, importance, and mastery of human emotions. You know, you have an ally that's with you all the time that offers you direction, helps you with decisions, and supports you to attain your goals. We all do. But most people don't make use of this ally. They don't trust it fully, and sometimes they don't know how to communicate with it. Your ally is your intuition. Lynn Robinson is with me today to talk about how to access, communicate with, and learn to trust your intuition fulfills your true purpose for being on the earth, and also you generate lots of magic moments. Please post your comments and questions on our blogs. You can find them on emotionalpro.com and on blogtalkradio.com/FEL for Full Power Living. You can also talk with me or Lynn Robinson over our toll-free number, 888-498-0570. 888-498-0570. And you can sign up for Full Power Living's broadcast through subscription on iTunes. Well, author, speaker, and intuitive advisor, Lynn A. Robinson is one of the nation's leading experts on the topic of intuition. She has a master's degree in education and over 25 years of running her highly successful intuitive consulting business. During that time, she also found time to write 7 books, travel the USA and abroad to educate and inspire others by speaking on the topic of intuition. And her newest release, Put Your Intuition to Work, it will be hitting bookshelves later this summer. The book we're talking about today is Divine Intuition, and she also has Listen, Trusting Your Inner Voice in Times of Crisis. You can find her on the web at Lynn Robinson, that's LynnRobinson.com. So, Lynn Robinson, welcome to Full Power Living.
Oh, thanks so much for having me, Eileen.
It's a delight. So, you say that your book, Divine Intuition, is about us learning to listen to this inner guidance I was talking about in the intro, and that it's our divine birthright. And one way I saw that is that you're essentially saying we come to the earth and we're not abandoned. There is help available.
But that's a great way
of
putting
it. Most
of us don't know it. Yeah. I like to tell people you're not alone. You know, I used to joke with my intuitive reading clients, say, wouldn't it be great if we were born with an instruction book that said, you know, here's your manual for life, and, you know, here's what you're here for, and here's what you're here to learn, and here are the best way to take advantage of it and live a full life. And then I realized that, you know, all joking aside, we really do have that. I mean, it might not come in the form of a notebook, which in my opinion would be very handy, but it does come in the form of our inner guidance, our intuition. And I think of it as like our inner GPS, that it's always pointing us in the right direction and giving us direction and how to live a successful life.
Oh, yes, I agree with you. I know that you spend a bit of time in your book talking about how you consider intuition our connection to God, which you make a point to say it's not any particular religion's God. Mm-hmm. It's actually that something larger. When my son was young, we agreed to call it the Great Whoever.
I love that. Some might think of that as sacrilegious, but I think that's wonderful. The Great Whoever.
Well, he was young, and we were trying to talk about how it is that something is larger than yourself and how to relate to it.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's such a good point because I do say that in the book, that I don't want people to get hung up on, you know, maybe the Sunday school version of God, or, you know, maybe what some, you know, religions have necessarily taught us about an angry God in heaven or something. But I really think whether we call it the great whatever, we call it our soul, our spirit, our connection to universal wisdom, our inner teacher, I think it's all part of that same source. And we hear it in lots of different ways. I think there's no one way that's the right way. It might come as an inner voice, a still quiet inner voice. I wish it would turn up the volume sometimes, but I think that's often how we hear it. We might get it as a feeling, an emotion. The information that we request or desire we need may come in the form of a dream. We might get be kind of asking for guidance and get over here a radio show like this one, or we might get drawn to an article. Sometimes the information comes as a physical sensation and that proverbial, you know, gut feeling that we often get, but it might also be a different kind of physical sensation. You might get chills or, you know, or goosebumps or something when something is a good course of action, for example. I mean, our body is a wonderful way of getting intuitive messages, but there's so many ways that information is being broadcast to us through that soul, oversoul, the great whatever. I have to use that. I love that. I think your son was a smart man, smart boy.
Yes. He was ahead of his time.
He was, yes. Yeah. But we all get that information. And one of the ways we access it is by simply asking for help. You know, I need help in this relationship, or I need help with this project, or I need some insight here, or what's my right next step? And the answer doesn't always come in immediately, but I find over and over again when I ask the question and ask for help that I get drawn to something, or some answer does come. Usually within 24 hours or so, I'll have some, you know, aha moment that said, oh, okay, that's a good next step here. That's a good insight.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I was a member of a meditation group one time with my former husband, and he got chastised by the guide of the group because they said that we've been trying to help you, but you won't ask for help, and we can't give you help unless you ask for it.
Ah, interesting. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me. I mean, when I do intuitive readings with clients, I've often joked and said, you know, it's almost like you've got these guides around you, but they're all holding up signs that say unemployed. And one of the ways to, you know, get them to be helpful, they want to work, they want to help you, they want to help guide your life and give you insight and help make things easier, but you do have to ask for help. And you know, it can come in the form of simply saying, you know, help. It can come in the form of asking specific questions. It can come in the form of just simply being, you know, I'm open to guidance here and just seeing what arrives.
Right, and what I like that you also point out in your book, and I think a lot of people are reluctant to do, is like, if you're not clear on what the intuition is, then you just keep asking you get it clarified, and
right.
I think that's a really good thing. I was thinking as you were making that list, I was telling you right before we started the show that my husband passed away in January, and I'm in the process of selling the family home, And what I realized is that I was getting an intuition for about 3 years before he died because he was ill, and I would say to him, as we would pass a place where they were selling motorhomes, I would say, you know, someday I think it would be great if you and I would take a little trip in a motorhome. Well, guess what I'm doing now that he's passed away? I'm purchasing a motorhome. I'm selling the home, and I'm going to take off in a motorhome. So,
I love that.
In essence, my intuition was telling me that for the last 5 years.
Yes, yeah. And I call those intuitive nudges. And I think that intuition, if it's insistent upon something, it will start giving you that message more and more often, that you keep finding motorhomes, you know, and you keep noticing motorhomes, and you keep picking up a magazine, and the motorhome article will be in there, and you keep going, oh,
right.
That would be nice. And you point out something very interesting, too, in another way that intuition communicates with us, is if you're excited about something, you're curious about it, you're energized by it, that's also your intuition saying move in that direction. So clearly, and you're having conversations with your husband about that, you know, that's what your intuition was expressing. It's like, oh, that would be fun.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a great way to listen to the messages. If you're not getting an inner voice or, you know, the gut feeling or something, it's like, what do you feel excited about? And so bravo to you, A plus, for listening to your intuition to take action on that. I was sharing with you that I did that a lot when I was a kid. My parents had a motor home, and almost every weekend I live in Massachusetts and grew up here, and my parents would take off for the Cape, and, you know, I'd get to go into one of the parks, and it was so much a pleasurable part of my childhood. And I'd go to Florida every winter for a long family vacation for a few weeks with a trailer, and had a lot of really good memories. So I think that's a wonderful thing to do. Great way to explore the country. Yeah.
Yes, yes. So now you talk quite a bit in your book about what happens when people don't listen to their intuition, when their intuition is offering them information or nudges, and they're not listening. What are some of the things that can happen if you don't listen to your intuition?
Well, I think things tend to backfire. You know, as we said earlier, it does give you a little, it gives you a nudge. You know, try this, change that. And, you know, I can think of so many examples. One guy who was a long-term client for intuitive readings, he was like the head of his sales office for insurance. And he was just getting message after message after message that it was really time to leave and go develop his own business. And he was very unhappy doing what he was doing. And, you know, they changed the commission structure on him and all this other stuff. And it was just so clear from every conversation that he hated it, but he was scared to give up the money and the prestige that it offered, and just kept going against his intuition. And more things started going wrong. You know, a little threat of a lawsuit, you know, being called into the boss's office. He got sick. And then finally, there was a major lawsuit against him. And it finally forced him to do what he really wanted to do. I mean, the lawsuit ended up getting dropped, and he ended up doing exactly what he wanted to do for years. But it took a lot of crises in order for it to happen. And I just see it over and over again, you know, whether it's time for someone to, you know, leave a relationship, or it's time for a change in job. You know, often what happens is we might get sick, we might have a lot of roadblocks. I mean, not to say that roadblocks don't happen even when you are following your intuition, but when things are consistently going awry, you know, you're kind of not paying attention somehow. But people get scared to trust their intuition because I think the biggest reason is it moves you out of your comfort zone. You know, for this man that I just gave the example of to change his job was very uncomfortable. It's scary. You know, what if I don't make it? What if it doesn't work? What if, you know, lots of what ifs. But I find when I look back on my own life and my own business success that it's the things that I did and that were really scary that actually ended up resulting in probably the most forward movement in my business. But I have to admit that even I still get scared when it's, you know, my intuition saying, try this, do that. And I was like, oh, I don't really want to do it. I'm scared. But I think it's just moving out of your comfort zone, making friends with the fear.
That's a really interesting thing. I'm watching myself because I've lived in this same home here for 17 years, and I'm going to be moving out of my comfort zone.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But it's not scary, more like I'm excited about it. And it seems to me that if we really get into recognizing these signals as our intuition, as God speaking to us, then it wouldn't be very much further to say, look, that means that this is what's right for me and I'm going to be taken care of through it and there's nothing to be afraid of.
Right. And you just said a very key point in all of that, and it really is part of the, I guess, the belief system that I think is so helpful is when you follow your intuition, it doesn't necessarily mean that everything's going to be falling into place and be hunky-dory. I mean, we can't avoid things like, you know, getting sick or our, you know, husband's passing away or maybe a job changing. But it's that belief that says, I'm going to be okay. I'm going to land on my feet. You know, I've got control over my inner peace and happiness here. I'm going to trust this process, even though it's leading me on seemingly a bit of a bumpy path here. I'm going to trust that I'm going to be okay and I'm going in the right direction. And so part of it's that self-talk, which I think you just, you know, stated very well. I mean, the people that I think have a real hard time with following their intuition, it's the self-talk probably goes along the lines of something like, I'm not really lucky, you know, things don't work out for me, what if I do this and all these bad things happen? And the people that I think have maybe an easier time in following their intuition are saying along the lines of what you just said, things will work out for me. I do trust myself, and I trust that I'm being guided, and I am a lucky person. And I know as I trust my intuition, you know, it might even be just a belief in learning lessons. It might be a belief in, you know, overcoming some obstacles. But I'm going to trust that I'm landing on my own 2 feet here, and I'll be able to get through this. So I think all of that are really good belief systems.
So let me tell you a little story about something that happened yesterday.
Please.
I have probably 4 sets of dishes, and I'm going to be taking off in this little RV, and all of my dishes are way too heavy. So I've decided to get a place setting for 4 and a little bowl and make that a corral so I can put it in the microwave and so forth.
Yeah, corral, yes.
And so I went online. I thought of it, and then my daughter said, go here, and I went online and I ordered it. And I noticed it was supposed to be here last Friday, and it didn't arrive. And I checked my email and found out they'd sent me a notice that for some reason the payment hadn't gone through, and I didn't notice the email. And now, I could have gotten upset about that, but I didn't. I just said, well, I wonder what's going on. Well, here's what happened. The upshot is that I called them, as they instructed me. I got this absolutely wonderful woman. And the bottom line is she found a coupon code. I added a platter, and I got the whole thing for about $50 less than I was originally going to pay for.
Oh, I love that. I love that.
And so, you know, I did sort of like, okay, well, what's going to work here? I did sort of like ask the question and follow it. And so once you start doing this, I guess my point is once you start doing this, those kinds of magic things, they feel like magic anyway, keep happening. It's like people are falling all over themselves to help you.
You know, and I think you have a very strong belief system that things have a way of working out for me.
Yes, I guess.
Yeah,
I guess
and
you
would be surprised how rare that is. I mean, you know, probably the normal person would have had that happen, going, "Oh, I can't believe these darn, you know, credit card companies, and they've screwed up again. And what do they want from me? And this is probably going to cost me more money." But you kind of went sort of into neutral mode and said, "You know, things have a way of working out for me. Let me just see what happens here." And you know, your energy, your attitude was really one of kind of inviting in kindness. Let me help you, you know. And you ended up with more for less. So, you know, I find if I can try to stay in a non-resistant place when something seemingly bad happens, I find that things tend to work out.
Yeah. Well, let me just, for those of you who are listening, let me be really clear here, Lynn. This has not always been the case. I was very pessimistic, and I used to expect the worst so that I could be pleasantly surprised if anything good happened. Mm-hmm. And so actually, to me, this is like part of developing your intuition. And you talk about this too, the asking, well, what if this happened? What if somebody looked after me? What if this turned out well? That's part of developing your relationship with intuition, isn't it?
Yes, that's right, absolutely. And I think you, again, raised a good point, because a lot of people who are more on the pessimistic line of thought, I mean, in a way, it can make sense. You could say, okay, what's the worst that could happen so I could be prepared for it? And so, you know, I can see where that makes a lot of logical sense, but I also recognize that, because I used to be like that too, I can see that in myself, but I found that when I was expecting the best, the best usually happened. May not happen right away, but it would ultimately kind of turn around that way. But I would also just keep in the back of the mind that if this didn't turn out this way, that I would have the resources somehow to be able to figure it out. I had a roommate many, many years ago before I got married that was definitely on the pessimistic, contrary spectrum, and I obviously more on the Pollyanna-ish positive spectrum. I remember she got mad at me one time, and she looked at me and she goes, "I think that you're pathologically positive." And I thought, I'm going to cherish that to my dying days.
Right.
I love that.
Well, since we have a choice of either being positive or negative and going to the positive, you know this and I know this because we have done both sides,
mm-hmm.
that going to the positive is so much more fun. It's so much more rewarding. As long as we have a choice, why not go there?
Right, absolutely. And it's kind of saying to yourself, I wonder what good thing is going to emerge out of this.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, yep. I love that.
So the next good thing here is our break. It's time for our break. I want you to call us on our toll-free line, 888-498-0570, and you can talk directly with Lynn Robinson and ask questions about working with your intuition. And find out how to know when it's God on the line next here on Full Power Living.
How would you parent your child if he or she were a foreign exchange student? As a host for an exchange student, you'd have five main jobs to do. Those are the same five jobs important in raising kids. People around the world have used this approach to raise kids who are self-directed, make great decisions, and are immune to peer pressure. Get your copy of the Exchange Student Model for Parenting, written by me, Eileen Dillon, now available on Kindle. As a 41-year marriage and family therapist, a single, married, step, adoptive, and grandmother, I've got a thing or two to tell you that's going to lighten your load as a parent and help you create incredible kids who will become amazing adults. Go to Kindle.com and download the Exchange Student Model for Parenting today.
Welcome back to Full Power Living. Our topic today is harnessing the power of intuition in your life with Divine Intuition author Lynn Robinson. Right now, I have a couple of announcements. First of all, you're invited to visit EmotionalPro.com for two things. First, download your copy of my free list of the signals of seven everyday emotions that can help you move toward mastery over the emotions that come up in your life. And second, sign up to be on our mailing list so we can send you our biweekly newsletter telling you about our programs. Next week, the wonderful Carolyn Hobbs, who's author of Free Yourself, will be here to talk with us about peace. Be here at 9 a.m. Pacific time, which is noon Eastern, next Thursday for that discussion. And thank you so much for helping us with our mission of transforming our world through understanding the importance, mastery, and power of human emotions. We've been bringing you our unique in-depth program since 2004. Focused on the importance of emotions, and we're interested in you understanding that emotions are tools that we've been equipped with, a lot like intuition, to help us better navigate our lives. And instead of letting your emotions run away with you, we want you to become the master of your own emotions. So today I'm talking with author, speaker, and intuitive advisor Lynn Robinson about intuition. And Lynn, when we think of intuition, a lot of people think of something that is neither reliable nor practical. And I am hoping that you have a story about your own life that illustrates the reliability and the practicality of relying on your intuition.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting. My business started almost 30 years ago by trusting my intuition.
Oh.
I Yeah, it was a kind of a weird story. I used to be the operations manager of a software company, so I worked in IT during a large part of my 20s. And I knew that it wasn't what I wanted to be when I grew up. And I went to see a career counselor, and she said, and I was trying to figure out what I wanted to be when I grew up. And she had me, I kind of came to the conclusion that I wanted to do something to help people, which I knew was very vague, and I wanted to have my own business, and I really loved studying about psychology. I didn't want to go back to school to be a psychologist, and so I was kind of trying to figure all of that out. And I went to a class, I felt very guided, actually, to go to a class on intuition. And so I found I was very good at kind of tuning into people and getting some insight. And I went back to the career counselor the following week, and I said, I've got it. I was totally kidding, but I said, I'm going to be a psychic. And so she kind of sat back, and she actually took me seriously. And she said, well, why not do that? And I said, well, I said it's not the kind of job where, you know, you'd say like a help psychic wanted in the Boston Globe newspaper. And I said, I have no idea how you'd start a business like that. And so I started to change the subject. And she said, well, wait a minute. You know, have you heard about using affirmations and doing visualizations? And she gave me a homework assignment. She said, I want you for the next few weeks, months, I think she said, to just imagine yourself having a wonderful business and seeing people coming to you and, you know, seeing a lovely office and having an affirmation that I have a full-time psychic reading business. And I thought it was a little silly. I didn't know about affirmations and visualizations, but I was paying a lot of money, so I did my homework assignment. And so what happened about a month into doing this was a friend who had been sick for quite a while died. And I went to his funeral service. My intention, my logical, rational intention, was to sit next to one of a couple friends I knew that were going to be there. I walked into the service where there was a couple hundred people making a beeline to one of my friends, and I heard what I can only now describe as an inner voice, and it just said, sit there. My attention got drawn to an empty seat next to a woman I didn't know. My logical brain was going, no, I want to go sit next to my friend Sarah, and she's up there in the front, and I'm going to go there. And I just kept hearing, sit there. Sit there, that's where you're meant to sit. And I'm like, okay, I guess that's my intuition. I should pay attention. So I sat next to this woman. And at the end of the service, she and I started chatting. And she said, well, what do you do for a living? And I was the operations manager of the software company and very proud of it. But I blurted out, oh, I'm a psychic. Now, between you and me and the listeners, I had really never done this before except for people in the class and a few friends. And I was totally embarrassed that I had admitted this to a total stranger. But she ended up being really interested and wanted a session with me, and I didn't have an office. I ended up going over to her house the following week and giving her a reading. And at the end of it, I said, you know, we really didn't talk a lot about what you do for a living. What do you do? And she said, oh, I thought I told you. I'm a writer for the Boston Globe newspaper.
Uh-huh.
And I know. And she ended up writing an article about me and the intuitive reading, and I got 500 clients in the next month. So that's a very practical way that my intuition guided me. I mean, it's so many other examples of that, but that was probably the most profound one that's really started and launched and sustained my business here for the last almost 30 years. So it's pretty amazing. But I mean, I use it in all sorts of ways in daily life, you know, that are very practical. I always ask the question, what's my right next step? And that, because sometimes we don't know five steps beyond it. We don't know what the end result is going to be. But what's my right next step is usually one that a lot of people can handle and manage.
And there you are asking questions again. So now, one reason that things happen more easily, like this when we're working with intuition, is you talk about this in a divine intuition, that you believe there's a plan for the universe and also a plan for each life on this planet. And so as you were sitting there looking for what you want to do when you grow up, part of that is looking for the plan for yourself.
Right.
And I think that ties in with your idea that it's our birthright. It's like we came here to do something, so it's our birthright to get the help and the nudges and the support to get on track and do it once we're here.
Right.
Is that correct?
Yeah. That's right. And, a lot of times people call me and ask me about their mission and calling. And to me, it's a lot more complex than that. It's not just about our job, that I was meant to be and do intuitive readings and you were meant to be a talk show host and a psychologist. I think it's much more than that. It has to do with the qualities that we're here to develop, the relationships we may be here to heal, the support we may be giving each other, the understanding, the love, the compassion that we give to the world. I think there's a lot of complex things that might be learning about certain things like persistence or courage or compassion or forgiveness and some of those kind of very strong, powerful, high-quality emotions. But I do believe that, yes, before we come onto the earth, that we meet with our guides, with other high beings and ourselves, and kind of figure out what are the life lessons we need to learn here? What are the circumstances that we can set up that will most allow us to learn those things?
That's really great. Yeah. You also, this is another interesting thing, that a lot of people are not sure that they're hearing their intuition. They think they may be imagining what is coming through. How do you tell the difference?
That's such a tricky one, and part of it's kind of a boring answer, but it's practice. Because sometimes it's very hard to differentiate between your intuition and wishful thinking, or intuition and fear. And so and intuition often does come through the vehicle of our imagination. But what I find is that when you practice it and listen to it, you begin to differentiate whether this is just a fearful thought or I'm scared of something or I'm just wishing it would happen. So what I tell people to do is, if possible, to take a small step towards what they think their intuition is telling them. So, for example, say you're in a job and you feel like your intuition is telling you it's time to leave, time to go find something else. But you've got a mortgage to pay, maybe kids in school, you've got bills to pay. You don't want to just go tell your boss you're leaving the next day, and yet your intuition is kind of continuing to nudge you in that direction. So instead of just going in and giving your notice, what small step could you do to honor your intuition to see if it's right? Well, you could rewrite your resume. You could start doing some informational interviews. You could take a class on something you're interested in. You could start looking for help wanted ads. You could just start putting the energy out there. I call it the information gathering phase. And so if things start working out, things are moving in the right direction, you're starting to feel more open about this course of action, then the taking action will start to give you some information about whether this is really your intuition or not. I'll give you a concrete example in my own life. I think it was when my Listen book came out. I got a call from a major newspaper, and they wanted to interview me about intuition. And my logical brain was going, oh, wow, this is great, major magazine, my book gets mentioned, I get mentioned, how wonderful is that? But every time I went to call the woman back, she'd left a voicemail message, I couldn't do it. And I just kept thinking, I just had that, thinking feeling, gut feeling, resistant energy. And I'm thinking, okay, is this my intuition or am I scared? Am I fearful about having this interview? And I kept thinking, I don't think it's it. From just my own past experience with myself, that's usually not something I'm scared about. And procrastination doesn't usually feel like this kind of resistance to me. So again, partly knowing myself and my own reaction. And I ended up calling her back and just saying, I don't think I'm the right person for your interview. And she kind of argued with me, and I felt even more that even though this made a lot of logical sense to do it, I shouldn't do it. And so I basically had to kind of trust that, and I said no. And I'm still wondering about it about a month or two later and wondering why I was feeling no about that. And it turned out that when I did finally see the article that she had written, and not including an interview with me, that she kind of totally panned and made fun of the whole idea of intuition, and kind of had interviewed a lot of, I would call them kind of woo-woo psychics, I guess. Not that I'm putting down psychics, but more it was a very kind of new agey, putting down, making fun of kind of article. And I was really glad I wasn't part of that. And I think that while it didn't come through a big megaphone voice, do not go interview with this woman, she's going to make fun of intuitives, that was how the information ended up coming through to me. So it's partly
really
kind of
great.
Knowing your own system and how you receive information and what feels like resistance or fear or simply wishful thinking.
Right. And, in my studies, And I use this in my psychotherapy practice too. I've learned that where we focus our attention, we feed energy and it tends to grow. Mm-hmm. So if a person currently doesn't feel like they have intuition, for example, some of the things that you just mentioned, that's like paying attention to it, and as you pay attention to it, you feed energy to it,
right.
And it will get stronger in
yeah.
you. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Yeah. And even just asking yourself, kind of pausing for a few minutes and just asking, what does my intuition say here? And, you know, whether you get it as a feeling, an inner voice, a thought, a physical sensation, any of the ways that it comes to you, just stopping long enough for even 5-10 seconds to say, what does my intuition say? Because that can really just really be incredibly helpful. But it's kind of, as you said, it's like what you're paying attention to, and it's kind of like building an intuitive muscle, if that doesn't sound too weird.
Well, yeah, no, but I think that's really how it works. And another thing you do in your book, and I totally get this and use it again as a psychotherapist and in my own life, and that is the idea of running an experiment. Just try it for 3 weeks and see
yes.
what happens. If you don't like it, you can always
right.
go back to your other old ways.
Absolutely. Because I find when I do intuitive readings for people that they want to get to the outcome. They get, you know, what, and they might get a nudge to do something in a new way or, you know, try something different, but they're scared about it and they want to be certain that it's going to work out. So I say the same thing that you do. Give yourself a period of time, a month, 6 months, a year, whatever makes sense given what you want to accomplish here, and try it out, you know, whether it's a new behavior or a new action or a new thought or just a new way of approaching life, you know, and just to see how it feels and give it some time to unfold. So I think that's really great advice. I really do try to use that in my own life too.
Right. Well, I loved encountering it in your book, Divine Intuition. Another thing you say, and I often, you know, you very gently talk about something that I have learned as an identity crisis process,
mm-hmm.
which is when we go to make a big change in our life, we seem to fall apart. And we get very, very scared, and we have a really hard time making the leap of faith to
mm-hmm.
a new way. And you encourage people in many different chapters to just move gently with themselves and to understand that this is just a process. It's not something to be that's wrong with you or something to
right.
be afraid of. And I really appreciate that. Like, any time we make change, we have to have time to accommodate to the change.
Right, yeah. And, you know, it's so interesting because I don't think that a lot of people really understand that. They kind of maybe in our, you know, our culture and news stories, stuff, you just kind of see people going, oh, you know, I just got divorced and I'm fine. I'm popping back up on my CV, or I've just left a job, or I've changed my career, and everything's hunky-dory. And I just find that, I'm sure you find it as a psychologist, that just doesn't usually work that way for most of us. You know, we go through a period where we might feel depressed or discouraged or, you know, scared out of our minds, or, you know, who is this new person that I've become or even forced to become through life circumstances? I'm sure you've gone through that a lot with your husband passing away in January. It's like, who am I now that my identity isn't a wife? And who am
right.
I as a single woman? And it's very scary to try that on for size. And so you kind of do have to give yourself a period of time, which depending on circumstances, you know, the specifics may be, you know, months, years, you know, to kind of go through that process. And you just need to be gentle with yourself and all the emotional upheaval that often comes with it.
Right, right. I think it's Lazarus, I remember hearing him say, before change, chaos. After change, chaos.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and it's kind of like learning how to make peace with that, that you can't necessarily get it all to line up and have it be going in a straight line. You know, it is chaotic. And
right.
it's kind of, I like to ask the question of myself, you know, when I'm going through those chaotic periods, going, okay, you know, how can I make this fun? Or how could I feel peaceful during this time? And I think a lot of it is our own self-talk. The example that comes to mind is my husband and I moved from Boston to Cape Cod a few years ago. And, you know, I'm the organized one, and I was, like, you know, getting all the boxes packed. I'm sure you're familiar with this drill that you're going through. And
right
feeling
now,
quite
yes.
overwhelmed, yeah. And I remember that in my brain I was going, oh, my gosh, this is so overwhelming. You know, what if this bad thing happens, and what if that bad thing's, and, you know, oh, my God, what am I going to do, and I've got to do that, and I've got to do this. And it's like I just felt like I was so in the midst of the chaos that I wasn't thinking well, right, and I wasn't feeling like things were lining up. And I'm like, okay. You know, and I had to change my self-talk. I kept thinking, I had to change it to, you know, what we were talking about a few minutes ago. You know what, things have a way of working out. You know, this is going to settle down. You know, how can I approach this process so that it can be at least a little bit more peaceful, knowing that everything's going to, ultimately, we are going to move. It's all going to be okay. We'll be settled on the other side. And, you know, how can I make this be less stressful or more peaceful? I like to go to what I want versus what I don't want. And just that shift in consciousness and the way I was thinking about it really helped calm things down. And when I did that, I also just felt like I was more in the flow of my own intuition. People reached out to help. You know, things lined up. You know, the moving company came at the right time, everything got packed okay, you know, the house opened up, and, you know, when it needed to, all the money was there for the closing, the house sold. I mean, it was like, because before that, it was like the chaos was almost like, my energetic alignment with the chaos or the craziness of it, it felt like it was stopping the flow of things happening the way it should. It's kind of like a
right.
Tai Chi move.
Right.
But
and
it's also embracing the chaos, as you said. It's here.
Yeah. Well, and that's something that you make a point of about intuition also, and that is that when you are operating in harmony with your intuition, things can be very peaceful. We're up to our second break. My guest is Lynn Robinson, who's a leading expert on intuition. And we're talking about how you can develop and use your birthright and divine guidance system, which is your intuition. You're listening to Full Power Living, and we'll be right back.
Everybody feels anger. But if you don't learn to deal with it, anger can mess up your life. It can cause you relationship problems, difficulties on the job, or create health problems. If you want a way to understand and work with anger that's simple yet so powerful it helps you to put an end to the specific angers that are messing up your life, then you'll want to get a copy of a mini course I've created for you entitled Reduce Anger Now. With it, I want you to be able to figure out what's stimulating the anger you feel and have an easy way to change that anger so you can dramatically reduce the anger in your life. I'm Eileen Dillon, the Emotional Pro, longtime psychotherapist, coach, and anger expert. I've helped thousands of people to master anger, and I want you to begin to become an anger master in your life. Order Reduce Anger Now at the store, www.emotionalpro.com. That's www.emotionalpro.com.
Well, in case you're just joining us, I'm talking today with Lynn Robinson, who is author, speaker, and intuitive advisor, regarding her book, Divine Intuition. Remember our toll-free number, 888-498-0570. And Lynn, before we dive back into questions, if someone listening wants to get intuitive advice from you or take a class or get your book, how would they do that?
My website is lynnrobinson.com, and my first name is Lynn. And I also have on my website a free downloadable ebook about how to trust your intuition and develop your intuition. So that's available there too. And the books are available at Amazon and Barnes & Noble and also on my website.
Wonderful. Great. Thank you. You have a chapter that's entitled God's Delays Are Not God's Denials. And
yes.
I once attended a spiritualist church, and they said there that you can tell God what you want, but you can't tell him or her when.
Right.
And if we don't get what we aim for at the time we aim for it, considering our intuition tells us what's right for us, it doesn't mean that we're doing something wrong or God's upset with us, right?
Right, absolutely. And boy, I think that's so important, because I think a lot of people interpret it that way, that I'm doing something wrong or whatever. And I think as I've gotten a little older, too, I can look back at some of the things in my life that I was, like, praying for God, please deliver this now. And you know, whether it was a partner back in my 20s that I desperately wanted to marry, or a job I desperately wanted to get, or anything else. And I can look back on it, and I can really see, in a way, God laughing or smiling anyway and going, okay, I'm not giving you what you wish for. That's probably a very good thing, and you'll thank me for it, but later. And probably true enough. I mean, I think that the boyfriend that I desperately wanted to marry, and definitely in retrospect, glad that one didn't happen. I'm sure I would be divorced now. But and, you know, same is true for many, many things. And I've had the experience, too, of just, you know, really working hard at something and it not turning out the way that I wanted. But often if I can wait long enough, and sometimes it's months, sometimes it's more years, I can see how there was a real divine hand in it and it got turned to my advantage. I mean, actually, interestingly, this just happened. I wrote a book called Trust Your Gut and Grow Your Business about a decade ago. And, oh my gosh, I worked so hard at promoting that and putting it out there. And the short version of the story is that the publisher went out of business shortly after my book got published. And I just was despondent. I just, because I had felt so guided to write it, and, you know, I was mad at God. You know, why did you have me write this? The publisher went out of business, and nobody can buy my book, and what was all that about? And it really kind of took me for a while to kind of forgive God. It's like, okay, did I mess up and really didn't trust my intuition? Why was I so guided to write this? And interestingly, it was just last year. Now, this was a decade ago that I wrote that book, but just last year I had another publisher call me and say, we really liked your Trust Your Gut book. We have a copy of it, and we wondered, since it's out of print, would you consider revising it and updating it? And it's coming out next month in the form of Put Your Intuition to Work. So, you know, God's delays are not his denial. So it took 10 years for that to happen, but I'm very grateful for it and grateful for the opportunity.
Wow, yes, and then my story earlier on about my dishes saved me $50.
There you go.
So you never can really tell, and there we touch into the plan idea. You know, there are magical things that can happen, things that you can't even think of, that the divine presence, the great whoever, actually sets up even better than you could even imagine it. It countered a discussion on Facebook this week, Lynn, and it was about eliminating summer vacation for kids because they forget so much of their learning over the break. Mm-hmm. And I ended up writing a protest because I think kids aren't being encouraged enough to take time to themselves, to think things over, to listen to their intuition, mm-hmm. and to watch the clouds. And to hear our intuition, we really do need to get quiet once in a while, don't we?
Right, absolutely. I mean, and it doesn't, you know, in the specifics around intuition, and I agree with you about kids, but I think the specifics around intuition is it doesn't mean that we have to take a, you know, week-long, you know, yoga retreat or meditation retreat or something to hear our intuition. Sometimes it's just a matter of, you know, sitting quietly for 5 or 10 minutes when you start your day or you end your day, or when you find yourself getting really overwhelmed or stressed during your work day, is simply just pushing yourself away from the desk and closing your eyes for a minute and just saying, what do I need to know right now? What do I need to do about this? It's getting into the habit of, you know, engaging your right brain, your creative brain, your inspiration, your intuitive brain for a few moments at a time. But I think that, you know, the way to really allow that to develop, and going back to what you were saying about the kids, is to take some play time, is to take some fun time, time to go for a walk, time to be in nature, time to really hear the birds and other things in nature. Just take time for that quietness. And it, I think we don't have that a lot in our culture right now. It's all busy, busy, busy. You know, it's interesting because when I moved a few years ago, I really wanted to make a lifestyle change, and that was part of moving from the city more to a slightly more rural area. And I had a real kind of talk, I was thinking about that when you were asking about identity crisis, because it was hard for me. I mean, I'm like kind of a little bit of a type A personality. It's like, and there part of me was like, I've got to promote my book. I've got to promote my business. I've got to be out there. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. And I kept hearing my intuition going, slow down and let it all happen much more naturally and easily. And I had the hardest time with doing that. And here I teach this. So I know a lot of other people are having a hard time with it. But when I did, when I really learned to slow down and trust and take more time for rest. In fact, I'm going out for a bike ride after I talk to you.
Good.
It's just, and go, you know, to my swim class and things. When it's like things started popping much more easily. Opportunities would come up, and it was kind of like almost like a reward for slowing down, that I didn't have to work so hard for all of it. And I think our brains just need time to disengage and to not be so on, you know, worry and activity and plotting and planning. It's like, oh my gosh, you know, life just gets way too overwhelming.
Yeah, so it's a lot easier than we've learned. I just wanted to tell you, I had a friend who, for many years, who was a medium, a psychic, and when I started writing, she said, you know, experts don't write books, Eileen. People who have things to learn write books.
Yes, that's right. Yep, absolutely.
So your type A self has written about intuition and slowing down and taking time to listen.
Yes, I know. And I think your friend is absolutely right, because it, you know, often it's because we've struggled with something, you know, that we really have delved into it, and we want to help others who have had the same issue. So, yeah, I would say that's probably true of a large number of authors. It's not that they've got it all figured out, but maybe they're maybe one step ahead of the rest of us on the path of figuring it out.
Right. I describe psychotherapy like that. We're all human beings. We're all here to learn, and the therapist is maybe a block ahead of you, but that's all.
Yeah, that's it.
That's it. Okay, so I also like the way you talk about how people can approach making decisions. It's very similar to what I've learned to do about having people imagine. Can you talk about the decision-making process that you recommend?
There's a lot of different ways one can approach it, but my favorite way is to close your eyes and just tell yourself, I'm going to do X. Like I had a guy that came, that was one of my clients, that, and he was had two different job offers. And he was trying to decide which. He was a very logical left brain person. And I said, okay, just close your eyes and tell yourself, I'm going to take the job with Company A. And he did that, and his eyes flew back open. And I said, well, what happened? And he said, I just saw the name of the company with a big X through it. And I said, what does that mean?
Uh-huh.
And I said, well, you know, I think that there's some, you know, intuition gives you symbolic images quite often, and I would say that was a, you know, a sign to not take that job, or that was something was wrong there. And he started to argue with me. It was a great company, and, you know, I should take that job. I said, well, let's just try it with Company B. And so he closed his eyes again, and he said, I'm going to take the job with Company B. And he just sat there with his eyes closed and a smile on his face. And I said, okay, so what's happening? He said, you know, I kind of like the feeling. It's like I could see myself interacting. And, you know, he kind of went on to describe a very lovely scene in the office. And so we didn't really resolve it, but that was sort of the technique. But I said, please call me and let me know what happened. So it turned out a few months later I got a voicemail message, and he said, you're not going to believe this, but he said, I decided for lots of reasons to not take that job with Company A that had a big X through it. I just found out they went bankrupt.
Wow.
And so it's not, again, that intuition gives you a megaphone voice, Company A is going bankrupt, but it gave him that clue with a symbolic picture. But I like trying the decision on for size and just seeing, do I get a body sensation? Do I get an inner voice saying yes or no? I might change the question a little bit, see if it feels any better, like I should take the job later, maybe I should not take the job right now. You know, so I just try to see, you know, what information comes in when I try the decision on for size.
That's great. That's great. Yeah. I really like that. So as we're signing off here, is there a way you can tell all our listeners something they can start doing today to develop their relationship with their intuition?
I would say the big thing is to ask your intuition questions. So I like asking things that evoke more than a yes or no answer. So it might be not, should I take this job or not, but more, what should I know about the job? Or what's my right next step here? I like kind of the old-fashioned way of having a pad of paper and a pen beside me. I don't find that works so well with me on a keyboard, but that just may be me. And I write down the answers I get, like I brainstorm it. And again, I want to emphasize that the answer doesn't always come through for everybody immediately. It may come through later in the day. But asking those questions, I think, is really crucial. And really paying attention to how your intuition communicates with you. Feelings, images, symbolic pictures, dreams, physical sensations, emotions, those are all the main ways that we get intuitive information. So simply asking and really remember to pay attention.
Mm-hmm. And you know, one of the things I've learned to do is to ask a question before I go to sleep at night, and
yes,
I usually wake up in the morning with the answer.
Right. Even if you don't remember the dream, you often wake up with the answer. Yes, that's a very good technique. Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, the whole issue of intuition, it leads us to pay attention to something deeper inside of ourselves, something larger in and around ourselves. And you know, I really think it's a very important thing to do and to teach our children, and I am most grateful to you, Lynn, for bringing intuition to the forefront the way you have in your writing and in your teaching, but as you have also here on Full Power Living today. So thank you for embracing this topic.
Oh, thanks, and it was so much fun to talk to you. You ask great questions. Thanks.
Thank you. Well, remember now that Lynn has several books on intuition, and the one we've been talking about is Divine Intuition. You can get her free download and also access to her books at lynnrobinson.com. That's L-Y-N-N, Robinson.com. So, Lynn, thank you so much for being my guest here today on Full Power Living. It's been a delight.
Thank you for having me, Eileen.
All right. Join us live every Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time and noon Eastern for more powerful experiences on Full Power Living. And remember, next Thursday, my guest is the always fascinating Carolyn Hobbs, talking with me about how to bring yourself to inner peace. Listen in and invite your friends and family. Paul Johnston of Fresh Talk Media has been our producer since 2005. Thank you, Paul. And for now, I'm Eileen Dillon, your host, reminding you to pay attention not to what you want to overcome, but to what you want to become.
To Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.